ones. Have to teach you how to be villains.
We're not very good at that. Already. We're just good at being villainous.
We did that episode already.
We didn't.
Did we?
Yeah, like one of the first episodes I was in.
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
This is what I put up with before every single episode, my audience. Sorry, not my audience, our audience. This is what I put up with.
And after episodes, and like, between during the week.
I just started. Like, this is just what I deal with.
Minions do.
I know.
If you ever wonder why it takes me so long to start the damn stream sometimes, it's not my fault.
It's your fault. We're all here before you.
I'm C4. Me is Sarah Vike, the great Grease Goblin, Insaniac, and hopefully Sir Jeremy will be joining us soon. And we are the villains of the Villains Talk Show. Hello!
Hello.
Hi.
How is everyone today? To all our viewers out there, you may have noticed we didn't have a show on Sunday, as you saw maybe on my Twitch, or on the Twitch you're on now. That's because on Saturday we're going to be doing a live stream as we go through the city and like solve mysteries and stuff. I put it in the chat. It's like this thing that
stream where we get to see each other's faces for real for I'm the first time in like November.
Yes.
We get to see each other's faces?
Yeah. And
I'm going to have a little iPad set up so that we can see Andrew's face or Insaniac's face as well. And we're basically going to run around and solve this mystery and just kind of that will be makeup for Sunday. And
I'll do makeup too.
To tell my audience, or God, why do I keep saying that? Our audience. Tell you guys, Sarah, and it's also part of the topic today. So Sarah got a job being the director of a camp. Hooray! Which means she'll be gone for the summer. Now, like now what that means is for the podcast and the talk show portion of our show, we're still going to do the talk show, kind of. It'll just be me, Insaniac, the Grease Goblin, and Sir Jeremy. But we'll mostly do one shots and we'll mostly have more fun, because without Sarah, what's the point? What is the point without Sarah?
Oh, thank you.
But because of that, you'll be seeing just over the summer, probably more fun streams from us. As for the podcast, we have a huge backlog of episodes, so we'll be able to make it all through the summer, and then we'll start season two of the talk show because it'll be our year anniversary. So that's looking forward. But now backwards, raveling up, that means other than Saturday, next Sunday's two shot, the start of it and the end of it, will be Sarah Vike. And I'm not going to spoil what it is, but I'm going to tantalize you in saying that Wendy's put out their own D&D, and we have been
intrigued.
We've been tasting and wetting our
lips at the salty surprise that is the Wendy's D&D. So we're going to give that.
When we play that, what you eat in real life matters and can give you buffs or
debuffs. Don't waste it now. Well, don't ruin the surprise, Sarah. I said don't you ruin the surprise.
What it is.
No, it doesn't mean you just ruined the surprise. Stop surprising.
I mean, you did kind of.
You just said what it is.
You know what? Shh. That being said, today's topic is actually something that I'm sure all of us have wanted to do as a kid, but Sarah gets to do. And so we're going to help her theory craft. I don't suspect any of these ideas to be good, but if there is one, maybe she'll cherry pick one that's actually good. Today, as it says in the top left corner up here, right corner over here, is we're going to plan Sarah's camp. Now, there's actually a bit of hilarious backstory to this that I'll let Sarah divulge, because it is absolutely amazing. than this backstory. Please, Sarah, no names of the camp, and no locations of the camp either.
Of course not.
But please tell us about how prepped, how ready, how thorough this camp is ready for this next year of camping. In fact, if you could shine a light on what you surmise as you've been telling us for the last couple of weeks to be the constant forethought put into this camp through the board every year.
Well, let's start with the fact that I've been working at that camp since 2010. Between 2010 and 2019, they had 6 directors. Completely new people in charge every time.
Does that make you number 7?
Yeah, that makes me number 7. Since 2010. I mean, the camp's been running since the 50s. Quite old. But that's the level of staying power that people tend to have. I am the only person that I am aware of who has been working there that long. And I was not intending to apply to go there at all this year, because last year I applied to be their director in January. The director of a camp, it's a small camp, so it's a job that should probably start January. And it should run through to probably October. There's a couple months in the winter that there's not a lot to do for this place, and even like January, February would be slow months, but you should start planning stuff. Anyways, in 2020, January, I applied. They interviewed me a couple times over the course of like a month and a half, and then just didn't contact me, and then COVID hit, and they just didn't contact anyone, and everyone found out that they weren't running camp because they posted it on Facebook one day in May. And I was pretty upset by that, because like I was volunteering a lot of my time and my effort for them, and they didn't even send me an email. But a couple weeks ago, on May 29th this year, like legitimately a couple weeks ago, I went up to do like a work day to help them get the camp ready, because they decided to run it this summer in May. And I saw the chair of the board. He was there, and he said, "Sarah, let's talk." And I sat down beside him, and he said, "Do you want to be the director?" May 29th, they were asking me to be the director.
Did you mark it down your calendar? Became the director of a camp.
Just very memorable, because it's so bad. It's so bad. Like, this is a job that should start in January.
It's so bad, eh? So that's why we're here. The villains are here to rescue you and help you this camp.
Thank you. Now, I need it. I have fewer weeks to plan the camp than there are of camp.
Oh, so good. Okay. Well, first thing, I have here a list I've made of different things, different aspects of camp that I will...
Your list has been missing a few things. Keep in mind, it is a Christian camp.
That's why I'm going to go over the list, and you can add things to it, and then we'll go into each one in detail. What I have for my parts of the camp is I have obviously food.
Obviously food.
Very important.
Water activities.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There's a lake.
Tenting.
We don't do any tenting.
Strike that up. Campfire.
Yep.
It was pretty iconic.
Camp-wide games.
Yep.
Team-building activities.
Yeah.
Educational hikes.
Yes and no. We do a little bit of that.
Capture the flag like games, such as Animal. Or Capture the Flag.
We actually have a game called the Animal Game.
Yes, the Animal Game. I know. Christian camp. As a Jew, I was thrown to a Christian camp. I know the Animal Game. Something about Christian camps.
It's a fairly unique animal game, actually.
Is it where you can be a cougar and you can eat the rabbit that has 9 lives?
No.
And your whole point is to run away from the hunter? Because I think that's the most iconic one that I know.
We've heard that one before, but there's actually a unique animal game that this camp has.
Arts and crafts.
Is, mm-hmm.
And then the last one I have is music.
Yep. Let's see. What are we missing? Putting kids in cabins and trying not to hurt people's feelings. Archery and rivalry.
I want to stop you on your first one already. How did those two correlate together? How does putting people in cabins hurt someone's feelings?
What if you don't get to be with your friend? Or what if you don't want to be with that person?
You mean cabin assignments?
Welcome to camp, yeah. I guess, because that's, the point is
cabin assignments.
Build relationships and hang out with normal people all the time.
You just cabin assignments. Yes. Yep. Easy. Done. Cabin assignments.
Yes. We also have, we actually probably don't have this year riflery. They have pellet guns, but don't have anyone with the right training for it this year, I don't think. But we have archery. Yep. Survival.
I have that. Educational hikes. That's survival.
Two different things. We treat them as two different things, but
all right.
They work together as one.
Bible studies.
Yep. Chapels.
We have to learn about Bibles and then chapels. We have to learn about Satan and then how to repent.
Oh, I sure hope that that is not how they go. Okay. Let's see. What else do we have? Just went over a schedule today, so.
And probably not every night, but probably every so often, something to do at night, like stargazing or.
Night games are a huge one.
Yeah, night games. All right. Yeah. All right, we have a pretty big list. I don't expect us to go through it all, but let's try to make the most horrible and best Christian thumping camp we've ever made.
Beautiful.
All right, let's do we anything that we really want to talk about right out the gate?
Well, I mean, music's easy. I have these. I'll just turn the page so that the name of the church isn't on it. But I have these song books that I stole from one of the churches. Full of like hymns and stuff.
No.
I think he needs like.
Are you good at
having like?
Whoa,
playing in the background, whoa.
Do you want your kids to hate you?
Not music. You have to sing music that's just being played. You know.
Yeah. But that's what she has. Just songbooks for them to sing. You're just bringing hymn books. Sarah, did you? I'm not even gonna ask this because I know the answer was probably yes. But did you want to sing hymns at camp?
Yes.
You wanted to sing hymns.
Yeah.
Why?
Okay, so remember,
camp is camp, for fun, not
we
for.
We have chapel twice a day, once in the morning and once in the evening, and they're essentially like little church services twice a day. Meaning that you
like,
do.
That makes sense, like in the morning.
And honestly, church. I would so much rather sing a lot of hymns than a lot of other songs that people did. Generally choose.
Why don't you pick
part of morning, that ritual to sing something, that's pretty
wholesome. Why don't you get
I don't know.
I'm not saying okay, there you can get we were just talking about VeggieTales before we turned on the stream. Why wouldn't you get like a little VeggieTale hymn book? Or like and then print copies of that. And then something.
Isn't the VeggieTales hymn book?
There is. And it's yeah, there's all the little songs from VeggieTales. So all of a sudden, you have now fun hymn songs that kids want to listen to, and then it'll be something that's camp only, because there's no adults! You don't want to sing these stupid adult songs about, like, oh, Jesus loves me, or no, I don't know hymns. I'm so bad.
I mean, I can make an example is, like the Hakuna Matata song from Lion King. Everyone knows that fucking song. If you had like a sing-along or something from VeggieTales, the kids would be so on that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll probably happen too, but
even
there are
Prince
also
of Egypt.
Expectations.
So what you're doing
it also
is...
It depends on the age of the kids. You also have to remember that we have kids all the way up to 18 coming. So for the
That's
18...
where I think it would be like a morning thing would make sense.
Sarah.
You do it once a day in the morning or,
yes, John.
Or something. It's not like, you have to sing now, guys. Let's everybody all sing. Like, that's just... It's a morning.
That is a part of it that is not going to change.
I would argue today's generation, especially teenagers... are so nostalgic for that kind of bullshit that I think if you brought VeggieTales, I think they would be more ready to sing it than the kids.
Yeah,
maybe.
I think you bring that. I think you're going to have the kids that are so happy to sing it, and then all of a sudden the kids are going to want to sing it because you have the. I think. Let me tell you, I've worked with a lot of kids over my years. I can tell you the worst kids, Sarah, and I'm sure you know this because you worked in high school kids. The worst kids are boys between the ages of 13 and 15.
Usually, yeah.
That's not high school. That is junior high. And I know because I was a little shit that age. And everyone, like, it's just what's going to happen. And the only thing that has authority over them is the teenager boys. And the only thing that has authority over the teenager boys is the teenager girls. So you know what has authority over the teenager girls? Whatever's goddamn popular. You know what's goddamn popular? Nostalgia. So you bring in the VeggieTales hymn book or VeggieTales songs. The hot girls start singing them. The boys start singing them because they want to impress the girls. And all of a sudden, all the kids love them. And everyone, all the parents are looking at you like a hero because somehow you got them into hymns. When in reality, all you did was do the easiest thing in the world and play to your strengths, which is horny adult boys. It is the winner. And you could do it easily because you were a teenage girl, so you know what's going to make teenage girls want to do stuff and make them excited. And what they're excited about, all of a sudden teenage boys are excited about.
I see.
You're not wrong.
Thank you. I just laid bare the secret to every camp. So. I feel like people should pay me for that.
Yeah, kids are kind of pretty straightforward.
Well, I know teenage boys are, and I know that. Girls are different, so I know boys. Yeah. I know what they'll do. Especially boys without parents. I know how they act, and I know how they think. Fair enough. So I can leverage that to my advantage.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Exactly. But yeah, I like, that's funny. I think you should do something like that, even if it isn't VeggieTales. Something nostalgic, Sarah.
There'll be lots of camp songs. I love camp songs.
Throw in a good hymn, I guess, once in a while. But don't make it every day. You're gonna bore everyone out.
Yeah, that's what I would see on that. I could see it as a morning thing. How you wake up during.
The thing is, keep in mind, I don't have a choice about that.
Just, it's not about having a choice. It's about how you present it. Schedule it.
I don't have the ability to change certain things.
Sarah.
Yes, John.
You don't have the ability, but you have the ability to present it to those who do. In a way that they understand, or in a way that makes sense. You are a strong and smart woman.
Yes.
You are more than capable of looking someone in the eye and not getting mad and saying, look, this is how I think kids react. And I'm not saying that we just throw everything out. I'm saying if we make small changes here, it keeps it fun for the kids, but it keeps the core message of the camp.
Yes. But what you... Let's move on. This is a complicated topic.
I'm also a master of persuasion. So, I mean, there's a lot of times where I feel like if you could just let me take over and speak through you, I could get a lot of your stuff done in seconds. Okay. Yes, let's move. I'm very much
a diplomat who tries to make everyone happy and it doesn't work.
You have an advantage. Remember, Sarah. If there's ever you ever have an advantage, your advantage is not that it's yours. You say, remember, you want the kids to be happy because if they're having fun learning about Jesus, then that drives home the point. You got to remember, use their faith against them. Cults 101.
I'd say because nowadays, things are a lot different than, we went to camp and stuff like that, right? So you gotta keep in mind of, how to make things...
There's actually rules. It's not the Wild West.
No, exactly, right? And that's, but that's what I find it makes it, back in the day, I feel like there was a lot less of a give a shit kind of attitude about what kids would do, that they, it's hard to kind of still have that these days, and still be able to make people, make the kids feel like they're free to do as they choose without the last thing, still giving them a structured kind of like guideline of stuff.
The last thing a parent wants is their kid to come home early from camp with a broken arm because they fell off the fucking ropes course.
The last kid who broke an arm at that camp actually just went to the hospital, got it all casted up, and then came back right away the same night.
Yeah, nice. I think even, and I think that depends on like parents, I guess. I don't think I would be upset if my kid got hurt at a camp. It's kind of inherent in a sense of what you're going out there, is that it's a learning experience. If you get hurt, you
learn. That'd be a slippery slope, my friend. Slippery
depends,
slope.
Yeah, it depends on in what way we're talking about getting hurt. Because if it's because of an accident, because kids are kids, then it's a different thing.
No, exactly more what I mean. It's like, shit is going to happen. There's no way to make everything accident child-proof. And if you no one's going to have any fun when they do, if you do make it that way.
But no one's going to send a kid to your camp if parents start talking about how their kid, like, broke a leg there, or...
I just had a really horrifying thought that I don't think the parents sign any sort of waiver when they...
They have to.
I hope
to God they have. Anyway, Sarah, I've been trying to ask you. So we could speculate about different things to do for your camp all day, but why don't we ask you directly? What are the things you need planned that you would love some ideas for? What can the think tank throw at you that you may? What kind of shit can we sling at your wall that may stick?
Let's see.
How can we be your salesman?
My particular job actually has to happen before camp starts. Things like finding staff to run the place, planning curriculum and staff training and things like that.
What's curriculum? Let's start there. Let's do something.
What people are going to learn, right? Particularly, the thing that I'm trying to figure out is... We hire kids as staff. We hire kids 14 and up, and the 14 and 15 year olds get to come and they do the crappy jobs that no one else wants. They wash the dishes, they clean the bathrooms, stuff like that. And for a long time, they've essentially been treated as slaves when they come up to do that. Really, really hate that. It really makes me angry. It really hurts me to see.
Oh, you're a volunteer? Here, be my dish monkey for the day.
Yeah.
Are they being paid?
No.
No, you're volunteering.
So they're volunteering?
Yeah. So they're kids who are volunteering, and they're being treated, they've for years been treated like crap and like slaves there to just do whatever they're told and shut up and be silent. And it's actually a reason why there's been several years where I haven't been there, because I was so unhappy about that particular issue and how it was being handled by the people in charge. But this year,
you can tone for that, and you know, you can you can add incentives to being a volunteer instead of just being, you know.
Well, I have a really great young woman. She's actually someone who I was her counselor, like her cabin leader, when she was just a little kid. As she grew up, and she is now grown up, and she is going to be my junior support staff coordinator, which is awesome. I'm so excited. And the two of us are working together on trying to make... I don't know how involved any of you guys have ever been with camps, but a lot of camps will have something that they call, like, LIT or LTD, which is some sort of, like,
leader training.
Yeah.
LIT,
Yeah, we're trying to actually create that, the two of us.
That's what that should be. Is LIT should be the ones, yeah.
Exactly.
So
where our goal is to work on integrating them more with the campers, and yeah, they still come, they still do the dishes, they still clean the bathrooms, but they also lead games, they also lead devotions.
Okay. I now know what you're asking. I now know what you're getting at.
Yeah.
When I went to camp, when I went to Jewish camp as a little
it's like regular camp, but Jewish.
You've no idea. Like, yeah. But
No idea.
It's just you don't know how, you have no idea how correct that is. Like, it's weird. But we had LIT, leaders in training. And what they would do, Sarah, at least our LITs, is first of all, LITs, it was like squads. So the way the, apparently they've been doing this for years and years since the GAMP began, is they've always had LIT do this. So this is how they performed it, is LIT had squads. Each squad was a group of no more than six campers. Mm-hmm. If you can, you try to match up girl with girls, guys with guys, but if you don't, you mix sometimes or you do what you can, right? The point is your squad leader is essentially, they are your camp counselor, essentially. While the LIT, once you go to bed or once you get put to bed, they then have meetings, they then do stuff at night.
Yeah, exactly. We're working on building that.
But that way, during the day, they basically lead the activities. So what would happen is while all the kids go to breakfast, the camp counselor or the five people in, so there was five people that would run the camp. There was the camp director, who's you. There'd be his secretary, the announcer, and then two of the LIT leaders.
We've got three total. So me, a program director, and then essentially an LIT leader.
So they had another two people to help them.
Yeah, this is a very small camp. That might be good to keep in mind. Seven cabins, 10
kids. This camp that I'm telling you about was 400 kids.
Yeah.
So just give you this, so you have scope and idea.
Yeah, currently our biggest camp is sitting at 19 kids. So
that's great. So that makes it even easier. But the way I understand
organizational work even better.
But yeah, the what I'm saying is what they would do is then, so whenever activities happened in the camp or with the small group or with age groups, they would always have their camp leader. And the point is you build a relationship with your camp leader, and your camp leader, it becomes their goal. They learn leadership skills. They learn leadership qualities. And at the same time, you give them small tasks. I know for us, the camp leader sometimes would lead us in prayers if we did it in cabin as a squad, or they would be the ones that would take over, and it became like, or like one of the plays we would do, like when we had to do musical theater, is they were given a small, like literally like 10-second scene from the Torah that you could do from the Bible that the leader has to do with their kids, and the kids have to come up with what they're going to do and what the costumes are, but they have the set words and the set scene, so no matter what, you have to do the scene. But like, you could do it futuristic where like everyone's robots, and like it teaches your leaders, because that's how they said it, is it teaches the leaders to be leaders, but at the same time it builds a relationship with the younger ones. Anyway, that's how we did it.
Yeah, that's pretty close to what we want to work on building up. Yeah.
I hope that helps at least a little bit.
It's essentially exactly what we were already planning. So.
So
yeah. Me and Caden hadn't gone to a lot of camps.
That's okay.
Oh man,
I had start.
Twice.
But
I think you want toys.
I was more like asking
a
Sarah.
Camp. It was more like a program camp,
like a day camp.
Kind of, yeah.
You I went go to there those.
For like for yeah, pretty much like
musical from, theater, like,
breakfast to yeah, like just camp. Before dinner, and then you'd have
yeah, home. Yeah, day camp.
You know what I learned to do at day camp? Because I went to musical theater because I was supposed to go into opera.
What did you learn to do?
Our great Mikado, a virtuous man, when he to rule our land began, resolved to try a plan whereby young men might best be steadied. And he decreed in words succinct that all who flirted later winked unless Kanubi Ali learned. Should forthwith be beheaded. I had learned that at 12 years old.